Hello.
Hello.
That was depressing on both of our ends.
I know. Well, you want me to turn into some sort of announcer and go, "Hello, people of the internets."
No, that used to be my job. So, we're doing the Diet Love Pass incident.
Yep.
I'm sure you've heard of it. Somewhere. Some lifetime. The Diet Love Pass incident is a household name in Russia. Maybe not here.
I've never been briefed on this case or whatever. Well, I mean, okay, I kind of did, but I don't know every single detail about it or whatever.
They heard me ranting. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I just heard you, like, ranting about some sort of things and how it's, like, all these theories going around on it, but that's about it. I don't really know much about this, I guess.
Deep breaths to get into this case. Diet Love Pass incident. Story begins January of 1959. This 1959. Is a while ago.
1959. Oof. Alrighty then.
Igor.
I thought it was more recent.
Igor Dyatlov led 7 men and 2 women into the Ural.
That's a lot of people.
Trying to figure out how to say that. Okay, never what? Mind. I think it's Ural. Who knows? Mountains trying to reach Mount Oratorin all died. Just all died.
They all died.
They all died.
They ripped.
There was supposed to be, wait, how many does it say? 7, 8, 9 people went on this trip?
Mm-hmm.
There was supposed to be 10, I think, but one dude got sick at the last place they were alive and had to identify their, like, their
corpse
stuff. He was Igor Dyatlov. Was the leader. He was 23 years old, and he was a radio enthusiast and studying engineering and inventor.
Oh.
And a keen inventor. He built a radio and portable stove for hikers and carried the stove on the trip. He was dating Zinaida. We're just gonna go with Kolomogorova. Zinaida Kolomogorova at the time. Alexander Kolvatov.
These names.
Russians.
All right. So, continue.
Alexander Kolvatov was a 24-year-old nuclear physicist student prior to...
We have all these, like, this inventor and nuclear physicist.
You know, these were people, like, they were extreme hikers.
Yeah.
You'll see one dude chase down a bear with one of those tiny geologist hammers for breaking rocks on a previous hike. They were doing this to set some record to be the most extreme whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all died.
Don't do dumb things.
Yeah, Alexander Kolovatov was a 24-year-old nuclear physicist student. Prior to transferring, he worked for a secret Soviet institution to supervise the Soviet nuclear industry. That's just suspicious seeing how they died. There was radiation found in their clothes, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Zolotarov was a 38-year-old. And he was a hiking instructor, a World War II veteran, and joined the team in order to add points to his degree, gaining the rank of master instructor. I feel bad for this man in particular, because he, like, lived through a lot and then died from, like, some freak Yeti attack.
Yeah. There's actually a bunch of theories surrounding this, as far as I know. I guess
we'll cover that
in
part two, as long as the last two deaths, because I only have one death written down. That's our reason for meeting up next weekend.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes, we're speaking to you in what language is this?
Charlie Brown language.
Right. Okay. Enough with Charlie Brown language. Yuri? Kionishenko. 23-year-old construction and hydraulic student. He was the joker of the group, and he played the mandolin. He took it on many hikes, including this one.
It's fun.
Lyudmila? Lyudmila.
Yep, we'll go with that.
Yep. Dubinina. Dubinina? I said that so badly. I'm so sorry. Was a 23-year-old, the youngest, and a dedicated communist. Now, what I'd like to know is they're all communist. What made this woman... They're in Soviet Russia. So, what made this woman a dedicated communist?
No clue. It's a good question.
What did she do to become a dedicated communist? She was studying economics and was shot on a previous hike by another hiker cleaning his gun and continued. She was shot.
That was just a sign.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, all right, we're gonna get shot and let's go.
Let's go. This is on another hike. Lyudmila? Wait, no, that's the one I just did. Nikolai Thinbolt. I don't know why I just wrote Brignoles. I don't know what that means. I don't know where that came from. It's just on my paper. Was a 23-year-old male, studied civil construction, and son of a French communist born in a concentration camp for political prisoners.
Wait, so did he have a French accent? This is a very important question.
Did he have a French-Russian accent?
Did he have a French-Russian accent?
I hope so.
Me too.
But he was born in a concentration camp for political prisoners and took care of the other hikers and promised his parents this would be his last expedition. But
he didn't lie.
It was. Rustem Soliman was a 23-year-old born in Moscow to an affluent family and studied mechanical engineering. That's all I have on this man. Yuri Doroshenko was a 21-year-old radio engineering student, gained infamy around the university for charging down a bear with nothing but a geologist hammer and a previous hike. Also, Zenata's ex, but he was still good friends with Dyatlov and Zenata, so that's fine.
Hello?
Now, Zenata Kolomogorova was a 22-year-old radio engineering student. She was very well-liked, she was lively, and she was bitten by a viper on a previous hike and continued.
We go, she's well-liked, she's likely, lively, and bitten by a viper.
Yep. Now, I'm going to stall for the next minute and 30 seconds. I don't know, as long as it takes to get to 10 minutes. Because I want to spend, because me and Karma, when we did our last draft thing, we ended up somehow making it into a 30-minute episode just by all of this info. I don't know what we did.
How did you... Okay, so we can go through some theories. Is that it?
Oh yeah, that's how we did it. We went through some theories at the end. Okay.
So, I don't really know any theories. I haven't, done any research on this.
I don't know that many either. The theories and the last deaths are going to be written all in part two.
Oh, okay.
But one theory is that it was... Well, how about we just get to the deaths? 21st of February. Well, no. Let's start January 1st. They left some gear on a raised platform to retrieve after their return ship. This was the last they'd ever be seen alive. The 20th of February. On the 12th, came and went. Despite Eager saying they'd telegram the school, nobody had any concerns. On the 20th, the hikers' families finally insisted on a search team. Only students and volunteers arrived before, a few days later, the head of the military got involved. On the 25th, they found, presumably, the trails the students went on. I didn't write anything more there, so I just got left off on the trails.
So, how many days was that across? The first day when they were missing to the last day when they got the military involved and the trails?
First day they were missing, January 1st to February 25th. It's a good long while. The 26th of February. They found tents. Want to know what condition these tents were in, Lemon?
I can make a pretty educated guess here.
Want to see how bad those tents were? They had taken knives and nails and torn out the tent from the inside.
Uh-huh.
They just, scratched it open with their bare nails and knives. And they got out. Now, the bad part about
the this look is, of pure concern and, like, surprise on your face when they said, and they got out!
And they got out. But after they got out...
I keep dropping my Gatorade! Alright, continue.
After they got out, they left all their stuff, one, or most of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was 9 trails of barefooted, with only one sock on sometimes, or just 2 socks on, just in socks, 1 sock, or no socks, walking calmly and mannerly into nowhere.
That's...
What?
Kind of... That's such a dramatic what? That's kind of... Not normal.
No, they tore over their tents from the inside. Yeah,
they tore open their tent, like, they were in this whole rush. And then
calmly walked away.
Yeah, they were tore open, like, they were, like, in a complete rush or something was attacking them or inside with them, and then they just walked away in, like, some sort of trance.
What? Okay. Oh. Outside the tent, they found a pair of skis, an ice pick, and Diet Love's jacket. Why?
See, I thought this was called the Diet Love Pass because it was a pass called Diet Love in which they went by, and that's where they were discovered or whatever.
Nope, it's just leader.
But it was just the leader.
On the 27th of February, the next day. Yes. They followed footprints to the edge of the forest area and found the remains of a small fire. One, they were in a rush, but then they weren't, and they had enough time to make a fire. Mm-hmm. Fire below a large cedar tree. The branches of the cedar tree were torn off on a solid of 5 to 15 feet in the air. Just, there was no branches. They were torn and gone, and they found the people's, like, skin cells and blood inside the tree. So they tried to climb it. And it all the branches tore off. And I swear to you, there were at least some branches good enough to hold their weight, but there were no branches left.
So let's get this straight. It was like something was inside the tent or near them, and they had to rush to get out. Then they just... Calmly walked away. And then had enough time to create a fire. I don't know, maybe since I... Was this place really cold, I
guess? It's Russia.
Yeah, okay, so... So they had time to make a fire. And, yeah. Seriously, like... So, rush, not a rush. Let's make a nice fire and roast some s'mores. And then, boom.
And then they were like, trees. Climb a tree as fast as you can. Climb a tree. Off all the sticks.
Climb a tree.
And they were found underneath the tree in only their underwear.
Oh.
That's well, not then. Even getting into their injuries.
Okay. Yeah, one dude lost a tongue. It's kind of gnarly. Who says gnarly anymore?
And it was Doroshenko, who was the boy that charged down a bear, and Yuri Koroshenko. Koroshenko was the mandolin man. They were found only partially clothed. I swear to you, there were injuries. I just didn't write them down. They had, like, broken ribs and wrecked skulls. I'll get to that in part 2. Maybe these were the ones that didn't have any injuries, because I think they died of hypothermia.
Oh. But then why would they...
But then why?
Oh, right, because with hypothermia, you can sometimes feel like you're super, super, super hot, like you're on fire. So people would often take off their clothes when they have hypothermia because they feel like they're on fire. What?
Hey, I told you.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was that where I know it from?
You know it from me.
Okay. All right. I knew that.
Yeah, they stripped.
Yeah, I guess you must have told me that when we first started
together. Or, another theory is that their clothes were taken from the last people to survive.
Oh, yeah.
But then didn't. Stick hut people. The den.
Mm-hmm. Such a horrible memory that I just recited what you said right back to you.
Yep.
Well, at least I had to get... At least I got some sort of useful information. I'm just over here making stupid commentary. But I stole it from you. I'm sorry.
Now some theories.
Theories? I don't know any. You're gonna have to talk and I'm just gonna make some more stupid commentary.
Now some theories. One, people think it was aliens. Two, people think it was a Yeti. Three, people think that it was an avalanche, even though there was no avalanche.
Okay.
Another person thinks it's radiation. And quite a bit of people think, well, aliens.
Well...
And Yeti.
So here's what I'm curious about. One, is there any radiation areas around them that could have messed
them
up?
They were by a military site.
Okay, and two...
But people work there.
Do they work in special hazmat suits?
No.
Do they only spend certain times of day in the military area to, like, prevent? Because you can be in radiation, but it's not great. And if you last too long,
then here's the problem. They think they were blasted with radiation because they're, like, their skin was not just black from the hypothermia, it was also kind of yellow. And there was radiation in their clothes.
Kind of yellow? That could have been jaundice. Was it?
That's what jaundice means. It's the yellow of a skin tone.
Okay.
But what causes it is a bunch of different things.
Yeah. So
no, actually it was the radiation was only found on the people that were buried in snow in the den.
Huh. When you say den, what do you mean by den?
They made a den out of sticks. They surrounded it, they dug and they surrounded it with sticks so they wouldn't have to touch the snow. And they put the clothes on from the other four or five people that died. So they lived the longest and didn't die of hypothermia. They died of injuries.
And, I was gonna say something, but I forgot. So it's probably not any sort of radiation from the military plant. I was wondering, because, you know, radiation is deadly, so, they obviously could have died then. See, I'm a very... I really like scientific answers.
I like theory that they did it
to themselves. It's fun to hear theory. Yeah. It's fun to hear theories, but I really want some sort of, like, scientific answer that might even be sort of, like, nobody would have thought of this or anything. But, you know, I think theories are fun, and I love to hear them, but I strive for a scientific answer for this case, because it's so weird. It's unsolved.
Because in 2015, they reopened the case to the public and gave them the last images that were on that camera. That was hidden in the dude that was underneath the den, and they didn't even think it was theirs. It was hidden in the entire place. No one recognized that camera. Not even the survivor. He was just like, I've never seen that camera in my life. Where did it come from? We brought many cameras, but that wasn't one of them. But he had this camera, and it did some last photos on it. I think those were unleashed in 2015. Let me just say, it really does support that UFO theory.
Sorry, just people outside. So, with this, I guess, I would like to think...
Sorry, someone walked in, so we had to stop it, and now we're continuing those theories. My favorite...
I was just blabbering on about random things that don't really make sense, like, just random theories that wouldn't really make sense.
My favorite is when you get to the people in the den, I like thinking that they did that to each other, and the person whose tongue got ripped out did it to themselves because they went mad from radiation.
So I can't even begin to explain the radiation thing. Did that, what was the purpose, was that was just a military plant that was next to them, right?
It wasn't even next to them, they were just doing it really close to it. They think, what a lot of people think, is a lot of people disclosed it as a military accident. Mm-hmm. Like, it was disclosed as that. They were like, no, these people died of hypothermia. These people died of a military accident. That's what they put in the reports.
So we have, like, two people who died from hypothermia, right? And the others died from radiation poisoning? Well,
they died of their injuries.
Yeah, okay. Well, they did have radiation poisoning. Right?
Just a little bit. There was radiation in their clothes. I don't think they were poisoned.
Okay.
Here's what I think they're covering up. People who went to the site while they were checking out saw balls of fire in the sky. Why? Balls of fire, and the people that worked on the plant next door said, they regularly see balls of fire in the sky.
It's just normal.
Or okay, light.
Look, that's the 23rd one.
It's the second sun. The shooting star. That's close.
Number 23.
They think that might have been UFOs.
Okay.
That's it.
So, you think one of these fiery balls might have hit them, and that counts as the blast of radiation which they hit them from?
No, it was like huge balls. If it hit the earth, it'd be like a crater.
Huge. Is that like a common place for meteor showers to happen?
No.
Okay. Really close meteor showers? I wonder. I wonder just how close they saw them. Could it have been, like, I don't know, any sort of just literal rocks falling from space? Is that, a common place that would have happened? How big were they? How close?
Huge and literally looks fiery. No one necessarily said fire. It was just light.
No. You can cut that.
I can't.
It's fine.
I don't even think it, picked it up, so we'll just go roll with it.
Cool. All right.
They just saw balls of light in the sky, and they were like, yeah, UFOs, it's pretty normal. So these campers were like, huh, these people have survived a lot. Let's kill them. Use their souls for our experiments.
UFOs, they're normal. Hey, look, there's another one.
We need just to get to 4 minutes, and then we have a 20-minute episode.
Oh my gosh. Well.
I'm gonna just cut it here. I have a 19-minute episode.
Oh, don't do that to me.